Got your Bible, Psalm chapter 138. I have been in this building, let's see, it's 10:07. I got over here about 9:25, normally a little bit earlier than that. And the longer I'm here, the better I feel. I'm getting higher and higher. Oh. You should have been here yesterday. You think the paint stinks today. This is good. By the way, the basement floor has been in need of something. So Matt and Jeff went down there and painted that. And you always have to use oil-based paint for that, I believe. Anyways, it stinks forever. Well, hopefully not that long. So that's why that is that way. Book of Psalm, chapter 138, and I'm going to do this verse by verse, but let's read the entire psalm first, and we'll come back to verse number 1. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me, and with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Well, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be able to have this, your word, in our hands, more importantly, in our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would stir us up today as we look here at a marvelous psalm. Help us understand that the importance of singing, in this case, singing of your praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we pray now that you honor your word. Pray for the power of your spirit to minister to and through us in Christ's name. Amen. That this psalm is one of praise and confidence, yeah, I think is very evident. And so as we look here, beginning in verse number 1, he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Then there's a colon, which is always that which comes after an explanation, saying, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. He says, I'm going to sing it, and it doesn't matter who's there. No matter how important, I'm going to sing his praise. Matter of fact, his mind is so taken up that he doesn't, in this case, make mention of his name. We don't often, when we know somebody very well, continuously use their name, do we not? By the way, there's one thing that really, really bothers me. I wish you would really inspect your prayer life and ask yourself, how often do you use God's name when you're praying? I mean, I hear folks, I mean, it's Lord, 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 Lord. Thank God he is Lord. But there's a thing called vain repetition. And so inspect that and look at it and ask yourself, do I do that? And here David, he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. There's no other God to David. And when we're close, we don't use their names repeatedly like that. One of the things we find here with when he says, I will praise thee, he is resolved to praise the Lord with the whole force of his heart. With everything within him, he wants to bring glory and honor to God. And in fact, it means that no matter what others may say or think, he would cheerfully worship as if all were friends and united with him. It doesn't matter if you're the only one in a group. You still have the privilege to praise the Lord. Amen? You still have the privilege to worship him and to lift up his name. We still have that. And though others may not join us, we can certainly do it ourselves. One of the things I think we will find is when we do that, we begin to get others. It's kind of like a flash crowd. You know what a flash crowd is? And sometimes people go in and there'll be a whole bunch of them but want to start singing, and pretty soon somebody else. And they'll just be in a mall or some open space, and it's like a free concert. And it really is kind of like that in a sense. You and I get praising the Lord. He's resolved to that. If others don't praise him, I think there's all the more reason that we should eagerly do so. How great is our God? Is he not marvelous? Should we not say so? Matter of fact, in the second part of this verse, he's basically saying no idol is going to rob the Lord of his praise. He says, because I see all these gods, I see all these altars, I see all of this, which was true in the land of Israel at times. He said, even though that be there, I'm still going to praise God. No matter what the images were before him, the music that they might play, it would not cease his songs of praise. It would be paying those dead idols, I believe, too much respect to cease singing to the Lord because they were perched aloft. Keep your eyes on him, amen. I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will praise him with everything I have. No matter the new religion or the practices that evolve over a period of time, it's just best to go on worshiping the Lord with a great zeal, being thankful for who he is, lifting his name up. You know, I've been in a lot of meetings. We've had meetings here. We have a conference planned this summer. We have every year a missions conference. But do you realize if half the time that we spend in councils and so forth, if they would have been given to praising the Lord, I believe churches would be far more sound and stronger than they are today. There's something that cannot be stopped, and that is when there's a hallelujah legion of people, they will win the day. And that needs to be us. So the resolution that ought to come from our lips is, I will praise thee, how? My whole heart, everything about me. Let's go on to verse number 2 and notice what he says. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Now that's interesting. What was the temple of God? Was it not the place where God basically dwelt among his people? In fact, if you go back to Exodus chapter 25, I believe it is, verse number 8, he's saying, I want you to make a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. And it was a place of God's dwelling. It's interesting to me the very place it is, the mountain upon which it was, is the where the threshing floor of Aranu was in the city of Jerusalem. And it was just a huge, huge rock. And it was a foundational stone, basically. And we find the temple was built upon that. It's interesting because that is the exact place where David found the grace of God after he numbered the people and God was judging him. And it was there that God showed him mercy. And David said, this is the place. This is the place that we are to build. And so what do we find? He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. In other words, he's going to look past all of the idols, all of those gods, their temples, and all of their altars and so forth, and look to the spot chosen by the Lord for his sanctuary. Now let's consider something for a moment. The Jew looked at the temple, but where are we to look? Are we to take our little prayer rug ever so often and get down on our knees and bow our bodies toward Jerusalem? We're to look to who? Jesus. Think about this. Hebrews chapter 2, in verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so you and I, we have the privilege, I believe, to worship toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice here he says, I will praise thy name. The names of God are interesting. We're not going to go to study of them, but we find many, many different names that are given to the Lord. And all of them are with significance. And they are teaching things about the character and the being of God. See? Just as you would look at your son and say, isn't he smart, or look at him and say, isn't he dumb? It's what? Saying something about him. So we're talking about the names of God in somewhat of that respect. The word Jehovah is an interesting name because it means the everlasting one. Always, always, always. Psalm 83, verse 18 says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the most high over all the earth. And so as we come to these verses, and he says, I will praise thy name. And then he noticed something about that name. And he says, for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. So he speaks of his love. He speaks of his truth. You know, it's hard for us to distinguish sometimes between love and truth, is it not? It's hard for parents to decipher if they love their child or they ought to beat the tar out of them. And it's hard for some people to realize, excuse me for using that word, but by the way, the word beat is used in the Word of God concerning your children. It says, if thou beatest him with a rod, I forgot the rest of it. It's not going to kill him, basically. He might wish he was dead. But we don't sometimes understand that the love of God and the truth of God, or the justice of God, perhaps we could say, they do not contradict each other. And when we think about truth, it speaks of his justice. And when we think about justice performed in grace, it does what? It generates love. For God so loved the world, what? He gave, okay? And so he specifies here that he is going to praise him for his love and for his truth. And then he makes a remark that is just absolutely amazing to me. First time I saw this is maybe 3-4 years ago. So I was reading through it. Do you ever read through and you never saw it before? And all of a sudden this phrase had jumped out at me. It says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He says, I've magnified the word above all my name. And what he's saying is, his word is even greater than his name. And perhaps I believe the reason is because it reveals his total person. His name reveals a lot. But as we read the word of God, we find so much about God. In fact, we find everything we need to know. Nature may point to God as creator, but his word reveals his total person. We see how he acts. We see how he, can I use the word react? That's not really a good word for God. But revelation excels creation in the clearness, in its definiteness and fullness of his teaching. And we even find that Jesus is called the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find him taking that name. Verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthest me with strength in my soul. David had experience some very difficult days. You remember the stories of he and King Saul as Saul sought to eliminate him. He wished him dead. Matter of fact, there was one point he even threw his javelin at him, hoping to kill him. He sought to hunt him down. And yet God protected David through all of that. Later on, as he becomes king, his own son then rises up against him. And Absalom establishes himself as king and went to war, really, seeking for his father to be put to death and the kingdom brought over to himself. He had experienced some very tough things. And yet he says, in the day, I don't know which day he's referring to. You could go back so many places in his life. And he says, when I cried, thou answerest me. David knew the power of prayer. By the way, be very careful with that phrase, if you would. Sometimes we get the idea that we are the ones, because we pray, that we have the power. The power of prayer lies with God. And whatever power is shown, no matter what it is God. And so prayer exercises our God. Use that word exercise right, not exorcise, there's a difference. And so we find that he knew what God could do. He had experienced it. And we find, he says, he strengthened me with strength in my soul. And it was in these very days that he praised God. He still was praising God. If I understand this psalm correctly. By the way, you may pray to God and he not remove the burden. But God always gives strength to bear it. It may not go away, but he'll give you the ability to go through it. That's a marvelous thing with our God. Hey. Verse number 4, he says, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee. O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. I read this and it hit me. We go to the New Testament, we find that it seems as though rich men have a hard time accepting the Lord. Now, I've known many men who were rich that got rich after they accepted the Lord, but it's very difficult for those who are very wealthy to accept the Lord because their trust is not, I mean, they don't have anything really to trust in other than their finances. And they think they're well set. They don't see their need as they ought to. And I read that, and I was looking at this, and I mean, kings, they're in that category. And yet David says, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee. And notice what he says, when they hear the words of thy mouth. David's so assured about something, and that is that those, no matter who it is, when they hear the word of God, they're going to end up praising him too. You know, when your heart gets changed with salvation, it's natural then to praise. Amen. Yeah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We find in the book of Psalms, I find that people who come to know Christ, young or old, they like to tell people about it. It's in their heart. Something good has taken place. Amen to that. We need to remember something. The word of God is powerful. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I believe one of the great verses of the word of God. And what's he saying? If we hear it and believe it, God does something. And David is saying, hey, even the kings, when they hear the word, it's going to have its effect. And he says, I believe I'm going to be singing praises with them. Verse 5, he goes on and says, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the Lord. They shall sing in the ways of the Lord. Now, the word way is interesting because it's talking about a road. Okay? It's talking about, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking about he's the path. He's the road. He's that area that we travel. And so we look at this and he says, I will sing in the ways of the Lord. And it could be talking about the path that the Lord takes, or it could be talking about the path that you and I take. Personally, I believe it's men walking in the ways of the Lord, and they're singing as they go. There's just something about it. You know, when you're right with God, and you are, whatever it is, the path you're on, it's easy to sing about it. Amen? And the reason for such singing is his greatness and glory, which overshadows all the other kingdoms. And so as this psalm begins with David singing, he's now joined by others. And I say that to say this, praise of God becomes contagious. It becomes contagious. Don't stop because somebody isn't. You know the best way for a church to all get involved in praising is for one person to really get involved. It rubs off on one next to them and one next to them. It has its effect. And thank God for that. Verse 6, the Lord be high, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. I find it interesting that the Lord, in order to walk with us, in order to talk with us, it's almost, I get this picture in my mind, and I know that God is spirit, okay? But I get this picture in my mind, in order for God to talk to us, it's like we're in this tiny little place, in a cavern. We've got this little bit of a hole right here, and God has to get down on his hands and knees and be able to kind of peer in and look at us and talk to us. That's kind of the, you all get dumb pictures in your head. And I don't know if that's dumb or not, but it's a picture I get. He must humble himself to talk to us. Psalm 10:10 says, he croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. And in 113, he says, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. You see, when he's looking down there, that little hole, that's not just me stuck away somewhere in the earth. That is all of our universe. It just astounds me. And what is he saying here? Though he be high, he humbles himself. He doesn't say that here. But he has respect of the lowly. In other words, he wants to meet with those. He will bring himself to our spot if we're willing to be that lowly person. God does not. I was going to say that wrong. God doesn't, I believe, really have much liking. It's different than loving for those who are proud. Pride is a killer of a relationship with God. Do you like being around proud people? People who think they're better than you? We don't like that. And certainly, that's not true of God as well. Verse number 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. How many have ever been in trouble? Some of you are trouble. We tease each other. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Remember, David had experienced some very difficult things in his life. We talk about with Saul, we talk about with Absalom. Some very difficult things. And though he walked in the midst of troubles, he says, the Lord will give me new life to go through it. The Lord said, give me the ability to go through it. And then he says, there's not an enemy out there that can have victory over one who is praising God. It's impossible. You praise God, and you are in a very good position. Why you pray? Listen, we praise God because we're seeing Him as high and lifted up like Isaiah did. We have this magnificent view of God. And when that view is so marvelous and it comes out in song, it's almost like you become invincible. And nothing can stop it. The last verse in the chapter, as we close out, says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. He says, I will perfect that which concerneth me. All my interests are in the Lord Jehovah's hands. Everything about it's in His hands. He's going to perfect it. He's going to mature it. He's going to make it better. Everything that concerns me. And He says, thy mercy endureth how long? Forever. Forever. And because He understands the mercy of God and its enduring, we find a call, an explanation following. Got to know our English, amen? He says, forsake not the works of thine own hands. What's he doing? He's praying to the Lord. Our confidence in the Lord does not cause us to live without prayer, but it encourages us to pray all the more. Because he knew what he knew about God and was fully convinced of it, he could cry out to God to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. Marvelous, marvelous. I wish I knew how to explain that better. But it is a victory for the Christian. How? It starts just being praising of Him. Having great thoughts of Him. Thoughts that are so marvelous that it breaks out in song. How many of you ever been like a little child? You ever heard little kids sometimes make up their own songs? And it's so cute, amen? You ever think God the Father, as He looks down at us as His kids, when we do the same thing? Marvelous it is. Marvelous it is. I had a blessing yesterday. I'm going to forget the name. Oh, my goodness. How many have trouble with names? Somebody could look it up real quick. Who wrote the song, Have Thine Own Way? Have Thine Own Way. This is extracurricular right now. Anybody know? Pollard. Here's what's interesting about Pollard. Is it Adeline? Adeline Pollard wrote Have Thine Own Way. You know where she's from? It's interesting. She was born in the state of Iowa. In the same town my mother comes from. My mother's relatives most likely knew her because the older ones in the family had been the same age because she was born about 1856. Not my mother, but Mrs. Pollard. I just found that tremendously interesting. And it was the best claim to fame I could come up with. For you who don't know it, my grandpa rode with Jesse James, so it's good to find out there's a Mrs. Pollard in my life. God's good, amen? All righty. It's good to see you this morning. And I trust to be a blessed rest of the morning today as we look to the Word of God. And believe it or not, we're going to go to a proverb this morning. And it's one that we've dealt with in my proverb studies, my broadcasts. But this will be a little bit more than that. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Pray your blessing as we get ready for the morning service. We pray that you would be glorified, you'd be honored, and really that our hearts might fall in such love with you. We praise you constantly in Christ's name. Amen.